You're listening to episode 15.
Welcome to the Pinegate Road podcast, where we're all about the creative journey. I'm Kelsey Cronkite, soon to be Kelsey Kerslake, and I hope that you'll join along on this adventure to discover insights into how we're all learning to live a creative life. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and happy Monday. I hope you guys have had great weekends. This week, I have a special guest on the show. Her name is Sarah Stars, and she is actually my saving grace at Pinegate Road. I hired her as my VA to work on this podcast, so hi, Sarah, while you're listening to this. And she has been working on that, writing the show notes, just making pretty much the whole podcast come together, and it's been so great having her behind the scenes, and I really hope to keep expanding her role on the Pinegate Road team as I am learning to delegate more of the work that I need to do to kind of create more in my zone of genius. So for anybody who is running their online business or even just their business in general, and they're kind of like trying to wear all the hats, this will be a great episode to listen to just to learn about how to hire out VAs, how to avoid burnout. Sarah goes into a lot of her background with kind of just doing too much, getting burnt out, getting really sick. And it's something that I think I've experienced as well with my journey with endometriosis and all of that kind of stuff. So we kind of go like really in depth and seeing how we can not work so hard and how you can kind of just form your life into doing things that are better for you and what you're really good at. So also, if you're interested in being a VA, there's a section in the episode where Sarah goes into her experience being a VA and other kind of like personality types and people that might want to start living in a different way and how a VA, like being a VA, might be a better step for them. Oh, and for people who don't know what VA stands for, it stands for virtual assistant. Sorry, sometimes I take for granted that words like that are just known, but maybe you don't know what that is, and that is okay. Now you do. All right, so everybody, welcome Sarah, and let's get on with the episode. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Hey, Kelsey. I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm so excited to like get to know you more in this more in-depth format. I know we've been working together for a couple weeks now, but it's cool to just hear you behind your VA position a little more.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun. And then you'll get to be on my podcast and we'll get to do that for you too. So that's
exactly.
Really cool.
Exactly. I know. I was so excited when we were like, let's just trade podcasts. I love that like podcasters can do that now. It's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. And it's funny though, thinking like my husband edits your podcast and my podcast. So he's going to be spending a lot of like audio time with us this week.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if he ever gets like tired of hearing the same people's voices over and over.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he enjoys it because you kind of get to know people better that way, but
yeah. Well, I'd love for you to start off by telling everyone a little bit about your background and where you kind of started your creative journey and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about how to answer this because I've had such a twisty, windy career path. So I know you don't mind people going in depth, but I'll try and give the kind of Coles Notes version that still honors the whole journey. I definitely was always creative growing up. I loved writing and I kind of loved art, but I wasn't necessarily like a fine artist, right? Like I wasn't like good at drawing things or painting things that looked like other things, but I was into creative stuff. I liked collaging and making things colorful and, you know, like customizing my clothes and dyeing my hair crazy colors. So there was always that element. And I feel like as much as I'm really grateful for my university background, I have a liberal arts degree with an emphasis in philosophy and English. I do think it sucked the creativity out of me a little bit. And I got very focused on what kind of like practical job I was going to get. And even though writing had always been my biggest interest, and I still excelled at that in the kind of like written components of my coursework, I just like, guess I didn't see it as a sensible career path to really want to write. And I wasn't really tapped into the online business world at that point either. I mean, it was like such a different beast than it is now. Blogs were still like barely a thing. But growing up, I'd had all the kind of like GeoCities and Angel Fire and LiveJournal websites. all of it. So, you know, it was kind of completely by coincidence that I actually got hired to be the editor-in-chief of an independent women's magazine in Toronto. I'm Canadian, although I live in the UK now. I'll get into that. So I got hired to be the editor of this magazine, and that was a real roller coaster of a job. It was kind of a nightmare because of the manager, really, the person who owned it. But it taught me so much. It connected me with some really amazing people, and it taught me so much about like what I really wanted to be doing with my life, and put me back in touch with my love of words and love of writing, and really ended up being a gateway into everything that I've done since then. So I ended up quitting that job to start an independent magazine with a friend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was.
How was that like just experience or taking that leap? How did you feel going through that?
It was crazy. And to be honest, it didn't turn out the best. Like we released the first issue, and that went really well. And I had like started supporting myself as a freelance writer. And so that was really exciting. And then it was my second time going to Europe, I guess. We traveled around Europe researching the next issues because it was all about how creative individuals and creative business owners were revitalizing post-industrial economies. So we had started by creating an issue about Detroit, and that was amazing. And then we were going to all of these post-industrial cities in Europe. But it was a really big learning lesson. Like, I didn't actually know the person that I went into business with very well before we kind of jumped into this project. And it is a little bit like getting married to someone, and it just turned out that our working styles and our visions were not very well aligned, and we had a bit of a falling out over that, and didn't continue with the project. But I'm really proud of what we did accomplish. And it, you know, it ended up sparking my interest to move to the UK. So I ended up moving back to my hometown for a year and continuing to freelance, saving up money, and then moved to London, England, in October 2013. And I had a 2-year working holiday visa, and I only intended to come here for 1 year. But I ended up really falling in love with it, and I ended up meeting my husband online and falling in love with him. And
oh
then,
my gosh!
Yeah. So then, when it came time to the, you know, like, oh, like I'm really supposed to go back at the end of 2015, I guess, to Canada. Like my visa was going to expire. But we got married and live here now. So
yes,
yeah. So that was a big journey that ultimately like led to a lot of things where I was learning more about what I wanted to do with my life. Cause I went back to having a day job when I moved here. I had been working off for Canadian publications, and the exchange rate at the time was about like 50 pence on every dollar I was making. So I was like, when I converted my money into pounds, I was making like half of the amount that I really had been making. So it just wasn't good for trying to pay the bills. So I got a day job in the charitable sector, which was another part of my degree as well, and worked there for a couple years. But at the same time, like since 2013, I guess, I'd had a lifestyle blog and had been building that up and was starting to work with brands and all of that kind of stuff. And then ended up transitioning it last year really into more, or I guess 2 years ago, into a more of emphasis on personal development and self-love and wellness and health stuff, and had started doing some training and was offering life coaching services. And so that's what I quit my job at the January of this year to really start doing full time. And it just ended up not being a good fit for me full time. I felt like it was all hustle and no coaching. I had, you know, to sell the coaching
package. Okay.
I just felt like I was pushing all of the time. And so what I thought, like having my online business was going to make a lot more space for my creative pursuits, like my podcast and my writing. But actually, I just felt like I had no time and I was really, really burnt out. And that's when I started transitioning to virtual assistant work. I had done VA stuff for other people on the side before, really liked it. And I'm really obsessed with online business. Like I really love to geek out about sales funnels and building online courses and all of that stuff. And I built up quite a skill set by doing it all for myself and doing it for other people and at the jobs that I worked at. And it's just ended up being a really good fit for me to be able to do that kind of work that I love and that I find really fulfilling. But it's a much more consistent income than coaching was. And so that's giving me some space to be able to be like, okay, I know that I'm making X amount this month. Like I'm kind of covered. And then I can have space to, you know, work on my podcast and grow that. And I'm trying to write a book. So that's kind of, yeah, kind of why the journey led me there. It was really, I think from the outside, it probably looks, I mean, it was very twisty, but to me, I can kind of see all the common threads going through it. And it's really ultimately been about, you know, it's so important to me. I knew I couldn't go back to working in office. I found that really draining and unfulfilling, but I needed to find that balance of like craving a certain amount of stability, but also needing a lot of freedom and needing to find the work really fulfilling. So I think I found a really good balance for myself there.
Yeah, absolutely. And throughout you telling your story, I'm really, really impressed with how you kind of fluidly move through those things. You weren't like, were you ever stuck in a place where you're just like, I don't know if I should make the leap to doing this or that? Like, it seemed like you were very brave in making those next steps just to fulfill what you needed in your life.
Oh, well, thank you.
There
was definitely some like total meltdown, like, oh my God, what am I doing moments. And I think I tried to push the coaching thing for longer than I needed to. But at the same time, like, I don't regret it. But I think, yeah, like I probably needed to do things exactly as I did them for things to line up and make sense the way they have. But it definitely didn't always feel brave. It felt really messy at certain points. But luckily,
really?
I think it did end up being fairly seamless in like I did just transition into one thing to the next. I did I'm really big on people being honest about how they make their money. So I will also say I did have a bridge job this year after I quit my my full-time job. I was working 2 days a week as a nanny up until last week.
Yes.
So that always kind of like made sure that we live in London. It's like one of the most expensive cities in the world. So it always made sense that like have that money that the rent was paid kind of thing. Like my husband works as well, but that kind of paid for half the rent, and that was really great. But it also gave me the security to be able to make these changes this year and be able to be like, okay, if this takes a couple of months to stabilize, that's kind of okay. So yeah, I think the things led really naturally one into the other, but there was definitely some meltdown moments in between there as I tried to like, you know, your ego gets stuck up into this thing of like, oh, like, well, it's way grander and more impressive to like be a life coach with this online following than to be assisting other people. But like, I quickly got over that. I love the work that I'm doing. I love the women that it connects me with and that I get to be parts of their businesses in whatever small way. So yeah, I didn't.
You're a big way in my business. I'm just like learning how to give up control. Like I've been doing everything myself and you've been amazing to just talk to and work through all of the little things. And it's been with my podcast and hopefully much more soon.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. It's always a big emotional thing, I think, for anyone to, especially as a solopreneur, when you've built your business yourself and it's always been you, to give up anything is quite emotional. So it's always a process.
In that way, you're definitely using your coaching skills to help people through, right?
Yeah, probably. I never thought of it like that, but that's probably true.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I was reading a little bit about your background, not like just the actual, like the jump from this to this to this background, but the kind of emotional transformation that you've gone through over the past year or two or three. I'd love for you to talk about kind of that transformation from like where you were to like where you are today in terms of personal development and finding yourself and just living your more joyful, happy existence.
Yeah, if in the bigger scheme of things, when I think of even when I kind of discovered personal development as a thing, it's probably been like, I don't know, maybe 5 years even, because I was someone who struggled with depression and anxiety for a long time. I mean, I still do in certain ways, like like life has its ups and downs, but really really debilitating depression, and I didn't necessarily realize it at the time, but like a real sense of self-loathing under all of it, like real lack of confidence. And just this kind of sense, I guess, that the things that I wanted, like, you know, I dreamed of like getting to write for a living and getting to travel a lot and having this kind of exciting, colorful life. But I just thought, oh, well, like that's for other people, like people who have more money or who are more courageous or who are more X, Y, Z, whatever. That's not the kind of life I get to have. And that was how I lived for a long time, right? Obviously really ruled by fear and shoulds and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's like, it's really hard to pinpoint when things shifted, or like there wasn't necessarily one moment, but it felt like, you know, discovering one little thing led to discovering something else, led to discovering something else. And it's been this whole trail of breadcrumbs. Like even just as simple as, I remember my friend turning me on to green smoothies and this really cool wellness blog by a nutritionist in Toronto where I used to live, and, you know, kind of realizing how much control I had to feel better even just through the way I ate and transforming and making over my diet. And then I found some different personal development blogs that were really about, you know, putting a kind of younger spin on personal development. So a lot of it's been written by like old 60-something white guys. And so there's like these young, colorful, fashionable women being like, no, like confidence is something that you can cultivate and you can really design your life to be however you want. And just starting to feel really empowered by that and to start taking some risks, even going on my first trip to Europe in 2011 was this huge eye-opening experience for me, that it was something that I could do. And I felt like this whole world opening up to me. So it's been a journey since then of just being quite obsessive, really, about learning about personal development and getting, kind of getting more control over my mindset. I don't know if I like using the word control, because I think in other areas of my life I try and give up control, right, to be like a little bit more in the moment and going with the flow. But yeah, this whole process of, you know, I've gone to therapy and worked with coaches and gone to tons of workshop and done some training and offered workshop for myself and all of that kind of stuff. And I think it's really all been this process of cultivating self-awareness and trying to be more present and more intentional. And it's definitely a journey, an ongoing journey, but my life just feels so different than it did, because I think I felt so helpless then, and personal development has been very empowering for me in that way.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. It was something that I never really knew existed. And I'd say my transition from undergrad, where I also went to like a liberal arts school, but I felt like I didn't have that kind of, I had like this drive within me, but I didn't like let it flourish in a lot of ways. And then going to grad school, I started just reading more business books and getting really in depth with like the graphic design readings and all of that kind of stuff. And then just moving here to Cleveland and starting my job, I was missing a lot of that research and just that funness. And so I started getting really, really into podcasts and personal development. And it's like just so incredible how much that has changed my perspective on everything. Do you feel like your podcast helps like keep you in the personal development world? Just keeping you energized with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so immersed in the personal development world because that's where I was working in terms of when I was working as a life coach. And like so many of my friends are life coaches or authors or, you know, yoga teachers and that kind of stuff. So I kind of feel steeped in it already. But then my podcast has been a great opportunity to stay steeped in it now that I've transitioned into different work, but also to just reach out to people who maybe I wouldn't have had a reason to. Otherwise, I know that you've been doing that a little bit as well, to kind of like not necessarily even expand your network, but just have really interesting conversations with people. I don't really have like a motivation behind it in terms of like, oh, I want to like hit them up for this later. I just like love getting to talk to people. I'm so curious when I read someone's blog or see their Instagram, yes, or read their book. Like I want to know more and I want to have a really real conversation about what's going on in their life. So it's definitely been incredible. I think one of the things that I say, and it's not my quote, but something that I reference all the time, is that the most powerful words in the English language are me too, like finding that connection and that sense that other people are going through it, that they're experiencing it, that we're not alone in it. And I think that podcasting,
we're not alone in it. I love that.
Oh, I didn't even mean to say that. That was,
no, but, yeah, but it like, yeah, true. We're not alone in it.
We're not alone in it. We're not alone in it either. Yeah, that's been huge for me. And that's what I hope I create when people are listening to my podcast as well. So getting to have those conversations with people and realizing, you know, that I'm not alone in it, that we're all going through these things, that the fears that we have, the dreams that we have. And that can sound, you know, I know people really want their sense of like individual identity. And so that could sound like it's a drawback. What I think, but really, if we're really afraid of something, or there's something about us that we think is really weird, and that other people won't understand, when you realize actually like other people are going through that too, it connects you and it creates that sense of sisterhood and that sense of like, actually we are connected and we don't have to feel like this is isolating us from the rest of the world, which is such a horrible feeling.
Absolutely. I love like, I've learned so much from other people sharing, mostly on their blogs, like, because this is like years and years ago when I would just like, I was so thankful for some of these people who were going through what they were going through and sharing that on their blogs. And I was like, I haven't had kids or anything like that, but I was reading all these stories of people like opening up about just some of their really scary experiences with life down the road, kind of. And just hearing that made me feel like it's not a me too, but it's a me maybe.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so much like better and connected, and like, thank you so much for all the people that are sharing their experiences openly. Like, we can't just live in this beautiful, picturesque little like fluffy world. And I think that starting this podcast for me was also kind of a way for me to open up about my journey, like the messy bits, the happy bits, the all of it. And it's been incredible, the feedback I've even been getting, just people like saying thank you for sharing like what you're going through. And or do you get kind of the same things?
Yeah, I love that too. Like, I mean, I don't like have the podcast to get recognized for it, but when you realize that, like, yeah, it's helping other people feel less alone too, that's really magical. And I think it's so true what you're saying, because the other side of social media that can be that it makes people's lives look really perfect and glossy, and then we can get to this comparison thing. And so I think there's so much power in the fact that people are showing the messy bits, because then, like you say, if we both become mothers later on and we realize like, oh my God, like all of this, you know, my life feels really messy and hard and I'm not sleeping. And, you know, instead of feeling like we're not living up to this picture perfect, Instagram, Pinterest worthy life, we'll have like had like a, like not even necessarily preparation, but just be like, oh yeah, like I remember so-and-so saying that she went through that too. And like, you know, if she got through it, then I will too.
Well, Kathleen Shannon on the Being Boss podcast, she talks about her, like, messy motherhood, like, all the time. And it makes me feel, one, like, kind of scared. But, two, she's just so open, like, about her non-sleeping and just raising a toddler. And I really, really appreciate her being open about that, because it just makes me feel like whatever I will be handed in the future, like, it's not like it's, it doesn't have to be perfect, like whatever it is. So
totally.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Personal. Can you tell me more about your podcast?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it called? What do you focus on, and how can people listen to you?
It's called The Girl Gang Conversations. You could listen to it on my website, sarahstars.com/podcast, or, you know, on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. It should be on all of them. And it's really, you know, it's in the self-help section of the iTunes store, but I like to say that it's really about self-acceptance rather than self-help or self-development. Like, as much as I've gotten really, you know, I really have gotten a lot out of the self-help industry, I do think that sometimes self-help can make us feel like we're broken and we need to be fixed, and like there's all these things we need to be doing to fix ourselves, rather than just recognizing that we can be confident and we can accept ourselves exactly as we are. And that doesn't mean that we can't have ways that we want to grow and visions for things that we want to achieve in the future. But I definitely know that, yeah, the self-help industry can help can contribute to people not feeling great about themselves in that way. Sometimes if they're expecting it to be all leading them to be really shiny and glossy, and then it doesn't. But
totally.
Yes, but it's still like, I mean, it's self-helpy in the self sense that we talk about like wellness, and we talk about everything: wellness, finance, relationships, careers, sexuality, you know, style, our, like, you know, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, like the obstacles we've overcome. And it's just like a really a chance to talk to a different woman every week and have her have a space to be really real and honest about her life. And, you know, some of it might come across as tips and tricks and advice, but really, I think, like we've been saying, there's just so much to be gained from hearing about other people's experiences. And, you know, maybe learning by example, or maybe just thinking like, yeah, hey, it's really cool to find out that someone's doing this like burlesque class and I have no interest in that, but I love hearing about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really quite a broad range of things that we talk about, but it does end up kind of having a self-helpy / spiritual twist to it. So, you know, there's been lots of people on there. I got to interview my favorite author, Francesca Lea Block, in the first episode, which was terrifying. Veronica Barlow,
awesome.
Gala, yeah, Gala Darling, like lots of people from that self-help industry, but then also people from a whole wide range of backgrounds and who do all sorts of things in their careers.
Oh, fun. So when did you start that? Like, where, what kind of like place were you at in your life when you're like, yes, podcasting, this is what I'm going to do?
I was at a place where I probably shouldn't have started a podcast because I was doing a million other things. It was like a year and a half ago. So what would that be? I think I had the idea in June 2015 and then I launched it like a month later and I was working full time. I was running my business coaching. I was putting out a new digital product that like ended up being the same amount of text as if I had just written a book. I had just gotten married like a couple of weeks ago. I was just getting ready to go on a big trip to Canada with my husband. I was having to apply for a new visa to stay in the UK. Like my life was manic. And I was like,
let me just sprinkle this podcast on top.
Like Google chatting my husband from my day job being like, I think I want to start a podcast.
Do you feel like sometimes when you're in that like crazy overwhelmed, like do it all space, like there's something, because I've been there 100 times before and it's like, what else can I do to make myself feel like happier or more fulfilled when like all of these things are going on and, but you want to have something that like you can control and that's almost like bringing you your little like bit of like supreme happiness.
Maybe. Yeah. I think there was part of that. Like I'd had this interview series on my blog when it had still been like a lifestyle blog called The Inspiration Interviews. And I'd really liked that opportunity to get to ask people questions, but it was like a text-based interview. So I was never getting to like really elicit full responses or follow up with people and have that conversation. And so it felt like a really cool way to do that. And I think some, like, you know, it's like they say, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. Like I got so much done when I was having to fit it all around being a full-time employee as well. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Like it led to some pretty bad health problems and burnout and I'm still paying the price for that a little bit. But definitely it like blows my mind now when I think about like, I should have a lot more time. Like I should be able to like add in all of these other projects if I wanted to. And now I'm kind of like, I think, now,
but do you want to feel the way you used to?
Well, no, exactly. And like, I really like paid the price this whole year of being really burnt out and having zero energy and having health problems. And like, it was not, I wouldn't recommend it, but I think sometimes you have those seasons in your life where it feels worth it. Maybe if I was to go back, I wouldn't do it like that again, but
yes,
it's interesting.
And I kind of firmly believe that I know if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know about my journey with endometriosis, but I think that even though that was something building up inside of me for a long time, I think that this season of burnout was definitely something that might have caused it flaring up the way that it did this past year. So I'm like, yeah, I was maybe taking better care of myself throughout those couple years of craziness, like I wonder how that would have lived out in my life. But I guess it took that for me to like totally transform and be like, okay, Kelsey, slow down, like figure out your life and do what you need to do. So,
yeah. And I feel like that too, like, you know, I definitely don't think I would have had, and I didn't have anything quite as bad as endometriosis flaring up, but like just really ongoing, like, you know, hormonal imbalances and like getting the flu like twice a month, well, colds twice a month and sometimes the flu and infections and just like low level stuff happening all of the time and being That's so terrible. Exhausted that I wanted to go to bed at 8 p.m. It was terrible. And I think like maybe if I hadn't pushed myself as hard as I did last year, that wouldn't have happened. Like it probably wouldn't. But also I've now learned lessons for life that mean that since I had to go through that, and you know, maybe some people listening can learn from our mistakes, but usually you have to learn it the hard way.
Yes.
I've learned a lot about living more in sync with my body and about the fact that it's okay to push yourself for a couple of weeks at a time. Like your body is meant to do that, but then it's meant to like pull back a little bit and there are cycles and rhythms to that. And so I know not to push myself for, you know, a year, 3 years, however many years. But I totally hear you. Like, I think whether that would flare up would have happened to you or whether exasperated it, like we can never know. And it's there's no sense in blaming yourself for it, but it's such a learning experience when it does happen.
And I did, like, I think that 3 years of really, really intense hard work led me to where I am now. And I'm like in a really happy, solid place. And then that endometriosis, like, I wouldn't change how it happened. It just was like coincidental or weird how it all happened, because now I'm like, because that happened, I finally like forced myself to be in this position where I'm getting to work from home and running the business that I love and podcasting with people like you on my Monday mornings. And it's just like, I'm so happy where I'm at right now. And who knows how that would have happened if I didn't put in the 3 year of burnout, crazy work, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a give and take. I don't know. It happened the way it is. And there you go.
Exactly. And like, I'm a big advocate now that we don't, you know, there's this big thing of an online business of like, I think there's like this, I was talking about this with a friend this morning, like there's the one side of people who are talking about you need to hustle all the time. And if you're not working like 72 hours a week, like you can't ever expect to make six figures and all of this like very masculine, yes, very kind of aggressive stuff. And I think I totally bought into that for a while. And now I'm like, wait, why wouldn't I just have a day job then? Like, why wouldn't I just work myself up a corporate ladder? If I wanted to work all the time, I really want to design a life where I can like have a family and have like a lot of time to travel and have a lot more balance. And so I'm not afraid of working hard when I'm working, but I want to kind of not be working all the time, obviously. And mm-hmm. I think that's a real shift that's happening in online businesses, more people recognizing of like not necessarily wanting to hustle all the time, but wanting to find that place where you're doing really good work and you're doing it really well, but that you've got space for you as well. And so I wouldn't advocate people going into the burnout place that you or I went to, but if we had to get there, if we had to do it, and I don't even necessarily think like we had to, I'm sure we could have built successful businesses another way, but at the time I didn't know another way. Me and either. That's what we did. And so.
And I don't know another way. If that's where you want to get, like, I don't know if I would advocate doing what we did, but I don't know another way to, I guess you just, like, slowly build things up and, like, it just takes more time. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, yeah, I guess so. Or, yeah, I can't conceptualize it, but I think there is this, like, trend in online business of, like, having to do all the things for a while. Like, I could have, I could have gotten to where I am, like, without, like, tweeting 10 times a day and like having this many followers on Instagram and this and this and this and this. Like I focused on everything all at once. And I'm sure there's like a more holistic way that people could do things. Like I see some people building businesses who like they work, they work a few hours a day and they've done really well, but then those people may have financial situations where they're a little bit more taken care of. And it's hard to say.
Yeah. I also think I'm learning that sometimes you have to invest in people like yourself to kind of take off some of that burnout load so that you can get to the next places. And I think that thinking that I had to do everything myself for so long was what got me to the burnout stage. So maybe if you're in a place where you have that day job, maybe like stepping back from your business and thinking about what you can like offload to somebody else. And sometimes that's like super scary. Like even I've had the financial talk with you. Sometimes I'm like, it's scary to me sometimes to be like hiring you. And it's for my podcast that I make no money off of, but it's something that like I really enjoy. And it's like just something I'm doing for my business in general. And I'm just hoping that one day it will all work itself out.
I think that's such a good point.
And if you have a day job, maybe that's supporting you while you're kind of like putting some money into like giving it to other people if you need. And I guess my services do cover enough that like I can still hire you, of course. I'll have you.
Yeah.
But it's like, but, oh, should I, like, just keep all that money that I'm making from my services to myself? But, no, I'm, like, investing back in my business so that I don't get to that place of burnout like I was. So,
and I think it does allow you to grow. And it's something that I can be very frugal, I like to call it. But it's something that I had a hard time seeing for a long time. Like, you know, with this podcast, you're not only investing in me, but you're investing a lot of time in it. And you're not always seeing like the direct return. But what I've found with podcasting, at least, is like probably people who listen to this are going to hire you, right? Like, and so it's not necessarily money from sponsorship right away. But what I find is like, yeah, these things like have this indirect way of paying for themselves, but it can be really scary to invest in it when you don't see it up front. And I find that that's true with lots of people. Like, when you're hiring your first VA, that's really scary. But you've also recognized if you don't take those kind of like daily admin tasks or your social media, if you don't take something off your plate or maybe a lot of some things, you can't focus enough on the actual, your actual zone of genius, the actual work that you do for your clients or the services you provide or whatever that is. And so you can't grow. And so I'm really impressed. Like I have a couple of clients who are really just starting out in their businesses, but they've either got bridge jobs or they've, been working towards this for long enough that they've got a little bit of money set aside that they're investing in someone right away. Cause they're like, yeah, they don't want to do what we did and have a year
yes.
of health problems. And I've had really serious conversations with them at the start of being like, you know, are you sure you're ready to invest in this at this stage in your business? And then hearing them have such clarity around why that's really important for them. I'm like, wow, I'm really impressed by that.
Awesome.
Certainly wouldn't have been brave enough at the time.
No, and I wasn't. And I'm just getting to the point where like having you in my life is giving me such like space in my own life to be able to be, having you is helping me live my happy life.
Oh, thank you.
No, but it's so true. Like I like wake up on my Monday mornings and I'm like, Sarah made this all happen. And, like the podcast is ready there and like the tweets have been made. And I'm just like, this is like 5 or so hours of work this week that I didn't have to like use my brain power towards. And it's just, I'm learning that I probably needed that when I was working my day job. So there, we found the answer. You need to hire it out.
Hire out or do less, something in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love working with people who are in North America because sometimes people are like, oh, like when will we figure out time to meet and stuff? And there's enough overlap that doesn't end up being a problem. But like just knowing that they wake up at like and sit down at their desk at 9 a.m. or whenever they sit down, and it's like, yeah, like stuff is done. So much
fun. I love it. Yeah, no, when you said you were in London, I was like, that's perfect because I love posting super early in the morning, but that's more your afternoon.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yes, like that works out great.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And I think that another thing about taking that kind of stuff off of your plate is like a lot of people get to a certain point a few years into their business where they start to resent it. Like it's not the creative, fulfilling work that they thought it would be because like I said a little bit like with life coaching, and I'm sure if I'd stuck with it, you know, if it had been a good fit for me and I had stuck with it, that I would have gotten to a place where this was less the case. But like you have to promote yourself so much. You have to do so much admin. You have to do so much focus on growing your business that you're not actually doing the time designing or writing or coaching, the thing that you really love doing. Like unless you outsource some of that business, like the business admin, then a lot of people I think end up resenting their business and
absolutely.
That's not fun.
Cause you're like basically doing like a pinch of what you actually want to
be. Yeah.
So yeah, I realized that after like my first week of podcasting, I was like, I spent the whole week doing it. It's just like, this is not my business. So help, please.
Yeah, totally.
So we're kind of getting into the like VA responsibilities that I wanted to have you share with people more about. So I'd love to hear like for people who are possibly wanting to get into VA work. I'd love for you to share some like tips and things and even what kind of personality types would be great for VAs and just share all of your knowledge on that.
Yes. Please. I mean, I'm so happy with my work as a VA, and there's a couple of people who I know who have been trying to find that balance of like, they know they're not really suited for an office job, but they don't necessarily want to be like a big online brand and like build that kind of thing. And so I've like been like, yeah, like I love VA work. Like maybe I could help you get it set up. And then realizing that they actually have the exact, like they just don't have the personality for it. And so they, you know, even like talking about it, I can see them cringing like, no, this would make me miserable. Because so I was thinking about how to answer this question because I think you do have to be really disciplined and organized and a self-starter. And so if you're someone who like, you know, you really need someone telling you all the time what to do next, you know, you're going to have really multiple competing priorities because you've got multiple clients who have maybe similar deadlines for things and you need to figure out how to get those things done in the right order so that everyone's happy. I think that could make a lot of people really uncomfortable. But if you are someone who's like, really likes a new challenge every day, who really likes figuring things out and having a lot of variety and finding the best solutions for things, if you're comfortable working alone a lot of the time and creating your own schedule, I think you could really like it. So I think those are some of the kind of personality types that would be best suited for it. In terms of how to get started, I think you need to look at, like, I'm like quite a generalist as a VA. There's some people who focus really specifically on like helping with ConvertKit or helping with, you know, I could maybe just be a podcast VA or a social media VA. But for me, like, I know if in my own business or, and I can imagine like as a business owner, I don't personally want to have like a ton of contractors. If I know one person can do all of those things like well, I don't want to necessarily have to actually be managing five contractors to do all of them. And so to me, it made a lot more sense since I had already built skills in a wide range of areas was to offer a lot of different services like that
And
all fall under the VA umbrella.
that's what I loved about you when I saw you, because I was just like, you can handle anything I throw at you. And you can like grow into my business as just like this person who knows all the like nitty-gritty little things. So we're slowly building up your responsibilities, like as I like get over my control issues.
Everyone has control
But
issues,
I
though.
know. But I was like, even on our first like Skype date, I was like, I have serious control issues and help me, please.
Yeah. So I think if you're
But
thinking about becoming a
yeah.
VA, you want to think about what skills you have. You know, maybe you will want to be a really niche VA because, like, maybe. So for me, it was really important to have ongoing clients. Like, I work with clients for, you know, a minimum number of hours per month. And so that's how I kind of know, like, since, you know, we both have a notice period, like you would have it at a job. So if for some reason I wasn't going to be able to work for Kelsey anymore, like I would give her a month's notice so that she could find someone else to do the podcast. Like, I just think that that gives both of us a more peace of mind that she knows she's never going to be left in the lurch. I kind of know what my workload is going forward into any new month. But other people I know have a different type of kind of VA personality, and they're way more of that kind of hustler VA. They want to work on a project by project basis. They want things to be even more different all the time. And so maybe you would want to be more of a niche VA who's like helping people just set up their email funnels or their mailing list or whatever your kind of thing is. But you've got to look at your skill set and figure out what you can offer people. And I guess I would do a little bit of research about what going rates are for a VA in your country. Like, don't undersell yourself just because someone can outsource something to India for really cheap. Like, there are going to be clients who will do that, who will message you and then decide you're too expensive, and like you do not want to work with those people, trust me. Just stay, hold your ground at a fair rate. I think you can set up a very basic website that just talks a little bit about your experience and what you offer and what kind of software you're comfortable with, what your rates are, how people can get in touch with you. If you want to look at mine as an example, it's sarahstarsva.com. And then I would just start letting people you know that that you're doing it. If you already have kind of friends in the online business community, then tell them. Like, that's how I got my first clients. They are people that I already knew. But if you don't already know people in the kind of sphere that you want to work in, because, you know, I think it's good to know kind of what niche of people you'd like to work with, at least generally. Then start networking other places. You know, Facebook groups for entrepreneurs are really great. That's where I get some clients.
That's where I
But
found you.
yeah, and that's just worked so well for me. I'm fully booked pretty much all of the time, and it's all come really through referrals. So that's been wonderful. But like really becoming someone who offers values in those groups and who is really, you know, part of the community, I think then people want to hire you and they trust you when it comes to that. So just do a little bit of digging and see what groups you can find. I think that's a good place to start for finding people. But if you let people know in your, like, you know, announce it on your personal Facebook, people want to help you. And it's like, you might not know the people, but someone you know, or someone you know who knows someone else might know them. And you never know how that trickle down will be. You only need to start with one or two people. It's very much something you could start doing on the side while you build it up, if you needed to. I think it's a little bit harder than other things to start on the side because people generally want you available during working hours. I was doing it 3 days a week, and now I work as a VA 5 days a week. And even doing it the 3 days a week, I sometimes felt bad when I was like, oh, this is a nanny day, but I can't. So I'd like, can't respond to this email as quickly. But if, depending on the type of work you're going to do for someone, like if it was podcast editing, for example, there's no reason you couldn't do that in the evening or, you know,
And then
maybe
even
find a
like
way.
when you were saying you had like your nanny days, I was just like, excellent. Like now I know that, and it wasn't something that deterred me from wanting to hire you at all either. So if it is something that like somebody only has a couple days a week to do. Like, just be open about it like work what you're offering around that. So like at that time, it wasn't something that I needed you every single day. It was like, here's this bit of work that I need done throughout the week. So maybe you're offering things that are more like that.
Yeah. And clients. I think that's totally doable. It's just like, just have a little think about it. And I think just be really straightforward with people. Most people who have an online business have been in your shoes, that they've been like side hustling for a bit. And I found that people were quite like happy that, like, obviously that I was being honest about it, but just could really relate to it. And it was kind of like a bonding thing of like, oh yeah, like I just got out of my day job not that long ago. Like, that's such a thing in this world. So yeah, there's no need to hide it.
And when you were like, I'm wanting to like leave nannying, I was like, what work can I give her? Like, I want her to like just be doing her dream job like all the time.
And like, honestly, it built up so quickly. And I think it is like a very active field right now. So if you've got the skills, I think there are people out there offering VA services who maybe are just like jumping on the bandwagon and haven't built up all of the tech skills. But if you've got those skills because you've been like blogging for a million years, or you're just obsessed with social media because that's your thing, or like you used to build websites on the side because that was your like your hobby, you've got those skills and you can start to learn new software, I would just, yeah, give it a go.
Awesome. So is there anything else that you want to share personally or professionally before we move on to the questions?
Well, professionally, I'm mostly fully booked right now. I might have a couple of spaces opening up in December. If anyone is looking for a VA, you can find me at sarahstarsva.com, and you can find me every week on the Girl Gang Conversations. And also we have a private Facebook group called Girl Gang HQ. So if you are interested in having conversations, it's just such a safe, cool, supportive space. Like, it's funny creating a Facebook group because you don't really know who will join. Obviously they're going to be people who like your work, or they wouldn't join your Facebook group, but it just ended up being this really cool group of people who are willing to talk about anything and be so supportive and open with each other. So it's a really fun place if you do want to talk about kind of self-help and spirituality and all of that good stuff. That's Girl Gang HQ on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
You.
So I have some questions that I ask every guest. I would love to know what some of your favorite things are right now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. It's a hard one to answer. There's so many, but so I was thinking about a couple of books that, I want to get like everyone in the world to read, especially women. So one of them is called Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski, and she's on my podcast this Friday. It's about the surprising new science that will change your sex life. But I think it's just so important to read because we realize so much of the things that we think are true about sex and how sex works is actually really sexist and really inaccurate in terms of female anatomy. And there are just things I had no idea about, and I want everyone to read it.
Yeah, I definitely want to read about that. I feel like I know nothing.
It's so good. And was like one of those major like, oh my God, me too. Or like, yes, this makes me feel so much more normal. And also Code Red by my friend Lisa Lister is a really incredible book about living more in tune with your menstrual cycle. And after being really burnt out, I realized like it just isn't biologically appropriate to live in this really pushy, ambitious, striving state all of the month. Like, I think as women, you know, to get a little bit political, living in patriarchy, we are forced to be in this kind of masculine world all the time. And we think that having our periods and feeling a bit tired and needing a bit more rest makes us weak. And so we kind of ignore it and all of that kind of stuff. And I just think reading her book really empowered me to, you know, even if I can't take a full day off when I feel like I need to rest, like to just be a little bit easier on myself and maybe not make plans those days. Or like, yeah, I just think that book was really empowering for starting to live a little bit more in tune with my body.
That's awesome. Another, I read a, the Woman Code. Oh,
that book is great too, isn't it?
And that is, I didn't read Code Red, but that one definitely taught me more about how like kind of the 9-to-5 day jobs aren't always the best, because we really do need to like listen to our bodies and take that time to just, be able to like reset and refresh and just follow what we need and not just push ourselves all the time. So
yeah, I found that Code really good as well. It really helped me get more balanced.
Yeah, and when I was doing all the endometriosis stuff, I was just like this information ingester. Like all I was reading was like about endometriosis, and she's kind of one of the people that helps people get through that stuff. So that was really, like, cool to read and learn about. So much information that I had, like, no idea about. So,
yeah, she's awesome.
Good recommendations. Awesome. Anything else?
Well, so I've just started watching a new TV show. There's only 6 episodes of it. It's like an Australian series, so there's not very many episodes per season. It's called Glitch, but it's really good. It's about 6 people who come back from the dead, and it's just very mysterious. Ooh. And cool. Also have become kind of caffeine intolerant, so really obsessed with Earl Grey rooibos tea. I've been drinking lots of cups of that because I became intolerant to coffee last year. Like, just my adrenals can't handle it, and it feels like maybe the same as even becoming true of black tea, which is really sad, especially when you live in England. So I'm just giving myself a break and not drinking any caffeine.
So
but
how
Earl
did
Grey,
you know that you were becoming intolerant of it?
I would get so anxious, like almost like heart palpitations when I was drinking coffee. And it honestly, it felt like it switched overnight. And I think it was a big thing about going into that period of burnout and adrenal fatigue, because I think I was really burnt out for way longer than I actually, before I actually recognized it. So I would just be so jittery, and I would feel quite sick to my stomach and get a really tight chest and feel really anxious. And I'm not getting that bad of a reaction to black tea, but it's just a little bit of that jitteriness. And I'm just like, I just don't want to push it. If that's a signal from my body that this is not going well for me right now, then I'm just going to skip it, which is fine.
Okay.
So the Earl Grey rooibos is great.
Is that only after one cup?
Recently it has been, like, cause I used to drink like 3 or 4 cups of black tea a day sometimes. And that was too much that was always too much. But, then I switched, cut back to 2, and that started to not feel great. And now just any caffeine's kind of, not making my stomach feel amazing. So I'm just skipping it for now, and we'll see how it goes. But at least with the rooibos, it's like quite good for you, and it still has the Earl Grey flavor. And so I could drink as much of it a day as I want.
Yeah.
And it's cozy and nice. Yeah.
I love that. I quit caffeine last year, but now I'm back on the bandwagon. And when I started drinking, I would have it once in a while, just when I was like, that was back when I was like in my burnout stage, and I needed like, say I was working on a Saturday just to get all my stuff done. I was like, well, I'll have one cup of coffee. And I felt like I was high. Mm-hmm. It was crazy how much, like, when you don't have caffeine and then you have one, you're just like, you're like psychopants. Like,
yeah.
It just was out of control. I was like, this is what I'm putting into my body every single day. And it, like, does nothing now.
Yeah,
it just,
it's
like,
crazy,
makes
isn't it?
Me not want to fall asleep. I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But
you get so much more sensitive.
Yeah, and so now I'm back to, like, 1 or 2 cups of coffee, but last week I had a cup of coffee at, like, 2 p.m., and it was the worst decision ever. Like,
oh.
I fell asleep, and, like, it was really bad. So now I'm like, okay, I'll just have my 2, but I don't know. I've thought about giving it up again.
It's crazy. I used to be able to drink, like, endless amounts of coffee when I was a teenager.
Right?
I could drink so much, and I was like, oh, it doesn't make you not go to sleep. I'm like,
yeah.
I can't have anything caffeinated past noon, or I just, like, can't sleep. Even, like, dark chocolate makes me a bit wired now, and it just feels so wanky to say. But it's like, yeah, the more sensitive to it your body gets, and especially if your adrenals are having trouble coping, then.
We're getting old.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing those things. I'll have to look into that tea. What does a typical day look like for you?
I knew you were going to ask this, and I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I should just lie and tell them what a typical day looked like last month, because I was like so on it with my routines. And I've kind of like quite intentionally fallen out of all routines recently.
Good.
Because, yeah, and then, like, I even stopped using the habit tracker and my bullet journal as of a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago maybe.
Ooh.
Because I'm just in this place where I'm like having really low energy levels, and I posted on Instagram the other day that like my focus for the week was just get through the days, like just do your client work, and like everything else is kind of a write-off, like eat healthy foods and do your client work, and that's kind of it. And it sounds really depressing. And I was like, I'm also totally okay. Like, nothing is wrong with my health. And I'm not depressed.
That post.
Like, I feel like I need to tell everyone that. And so, like, I wrote that in my Instagram post. But it's just but being a little bit wiped out right now. And so I used to get up and, like, meditate and write in my journal and, you know, have a little yoga routine. And I had all of these things I did in the morning. And it was very Instagrammable and spiritual and all of that. And there is nothing wrong with any of those things. They're wonderful. But right now, It's also so dark in the UK at the moment, in the mornings. So I'm just getting out of bed kind of like after my husband gets out of the shower and making some breakfast, usually while he's still here. And then he goes to work about 8. I have a shower and get dressed, and I've actually just been eating my second breakfast. I'm like, eat like something small first thing in the morning, and then eat, just like get a bit, I need to eat right away, but I get a bit nauseous if I eat too much first thing in the morning. So then I have like a proper breakfast, and I usually watch something on Netflix. So this is like, I've gone from like this very shiny routine to something like very laid back. But anyways, I'm quite liking it. Eat something in front of the TV, and do my bullet journal stuff for the day. So I keep track of where I'm at in my cycle, and also some gratitudes, and then set out my like tasks for the day and any appointments that I have. Get that stuff all written down in my bullet journal. And then just really start on client. Well, so my new schedule is that I'm trying to implement as of this week, is to spend 2 hours on creative work before I jump into client things, as long as that's kind of compatible with obviously anybody's time specific deadlines and any appointments that I have. But I'm trying to keep those first hours from 9 to 10:30 to or maybe 11 sometimes. For creative work, so either working on outlining the book that I want to write, that I am writing. It's in Scrivener, it's in process, just very early stages at this point.
Can you share more about that? Like what you're working on? Okay.
It's feels very new, and but you know, it's kind of like what we've been talking about today. It's all of these entry points that I found through this period of burnout. For living in a way that's more harmonious with our body. So the menstrual cycle is part of that, like the kind of subtle energies of our bodies are part of that. So really looking at how we can tap in to all of the wisdom and all of the healing that already exists within our bodies. And I don't want it to be like a, here's all of these things that you should do, but just looking at, you know, how movement can connect us to other parts of ourselves, giving people all of these entry points that I learned about. So it's kind of like a broad idea of what it's about.
Awesome.
Hopefully I'll come up with a better elevator pitch as I write it. But yeah, I'm really excited. looking at why we feel so separated from our bodies, you know, ways that people used to live or are living in different parts of the ways that's really connected to the body, and how important that is for just being healthier and happier, really. So yeah, that's a big scary thing that I want to complete before next spring, hopefully. So yeah, spending some time on that in the morning, or some time maybe writing a blog post or getting stuff ready for a podcast episode, and then diving into client work for, you know, most of the rest of the day. I usually take a fairly like hour and maybe an hour and a half for lunch, I'm trying to fit in 10,000 steps a day because I'm not really big into like fitness. I like to do a bit of yoga. And I also do a movement practice called Koya, but I'm not like going to go to the gym and lift weights like or do high intensity workouts. I've tried and it just doesn't feel good to me. So trying to find more ways to fit walking into my day. So whether that's like walking to a cafe to do work for the day, or just going for a walk around the neighborhood or whatever that looks like. It is a struggle sometimes when I have a lot of client work and I know that I need to be like chained to the computer. Like I will usually let movement be the thing that falls off of my to-do list.
Same.
And I'm trying to find like what the balance looks like, because part of it could be waking up earlier, but then when I said about my energy levels, that doesn't feel good. But I know it's really important, and so I'm trying to figure that out.
I think sometimes it's just going through the cycles of like, this week is less movement, and you kind of do what you can to feel good. And one of my big things is like, I always feel guilty when I don't do that, and I feel guilty for not doing the weightlifting and the high intensity workouts and all of that stuff, but I hate those. I hate it. So maybe just, I'm glad that you said that, like, you don't like it, because I could walk endlessly. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
But that is also something that falls off pretty quickly.
And 10,000 steps is a lot. It's like an hour and a half of walking. So I kind of need to find ways to, like, really work it in. But no, like, I used to feel guilty. Like, I wanted to be like, I'm going to do the 30-day shred, and I'm going to do weightlifting, and I'm going to do all these things. And, like, I'd, like, get halfway through the month with them and be like, I don't like this. And it like actually doesn't feel that good in my body. And you know, like a certain amount of high intensity exercise can be good for you, but Not when you have adrenal fatigue, not when you have hormonal imbalances, and certainly not past, I think, like 30 minutes, because it's cortisol producing, like it's producing a stress hormone in your body. And if you already have too much cortisone, I'm not a fitness expert, so I'm prefacing this with my saying that, but that's just from reading a lot this year, trying to get my body back to a place where it feels good. This is the thing that I kept coming up against. And Alicia Vitti talks about it in Woman Code that, yeah, she really does not recommend a high intensity workout when you're in a place of burnout or adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. But I think like things like walking or gentle yoga or even less gentle yoga, kind of whatever you're into, Pilates, they often tend to be just like more in connection with the way some bodies want to move and definitely how my body likes moving. Yeah. So I would not, if you can get over that guilt, I would, but it's totally, I need to figure that out because I think maybe it's like an every other day thing. Maybe every other day I work on the book and the other days I work on walking enough. Like, I don't know what that looks like
yet. One of the things I also, just like random, like maybe it works with your life, is I try to, and it doesn't happen all the time at all, but is I try to walk a mile after every meal.
That's really good.
And so I like make it into my break and there's like a little street down the road. And I know if I like walk to that street and back, it's like a half mile there, half mile back. And I like take Eaton on a little journey. I can't say the W work. She'll freak out. But I take her on a little journey. It's like very nice. And it makes those meal breaks more intentional too. Because like you, I often will just like make something to eat and bring it back to my couch corner.
Yeah.
And live there more.
You realize you fused with a couch corner.
Yeah, I have fused with my couch corner.
Yeah. I think that's a really good idea. And maybe I could be working that in a little bit more. And to be honest, like I think there are ways that I could be like just a bit more mindful with my time. Because I think sometimes I have to swing really, you know, I was in these really, really good routines and now I've kind of fallen completely out of them. And I think sometimes I need to do that to be able to fall back into this more balanced place. But something like walking a mile after every meal feels like it could be really balanced and it must be really good for your digestion.
That's what, yeah, I've been learning that it's really great to just like work, yeah, for digesting your food. Exactly. Yeah.
I usually work till between 5 and 6 and I'll start making dinner. My husband usually gets home from work shortly after 6. Sometimes he has to work later. And we'll have dinner together. Usually like watch a show that we've both been watching together. And then I try and have some like time just to myself. So either like take a bath or write in my journal or read. I read quite a lot. Try and maybe do a little bit of yoga or some meditation, just something that's kind of like some me, like, you know, even though I spend all like a lot of my day alone, I do feel like if I'm doing work, it doesn't process in my brain as like alone time. Like I need something that's like a kind of like connection to self and a like a decompression, I guess. So doing a little bit of that, and then, you know, we'll often go to bed and read and have a cuddle and hang out with our cat Hagrid and all that kind of stuff. And I go to bed pretty early. So between 10 and 11, go to sleep.
Awesome. I love it. I go to bed like stupid early still. I think I like head upstairs at 8 and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read / go to bed. And I'm like sleeping by 9.
I've had that happen quite a lot recently too, if I'm honest, actually. Yeah. Which
it feels so nice. Like last night I was like, it's the fall air is like coming in through the windows. I'm wearing my cozy little sweater and I have a LaCroix and I'm reading my book and just like, I felt like I loved kind of stopping in that moment and being like, this is the life I love. And I like wasn't stressing out about my Monday morning because I knew I was just getting to talk to you and hang out and do my fun little day. And it was, I don't know. I guess I just like being like super grateful and happy in these like little moments because they really do bring me a lot of joy, like stupid amounts of joy.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And I used to be someone who was like way more, not extroverted necessarily. I think I misunderstood myself to be an extrovert, but I was just like way more wanting to be out in the world doing stuff all the time. And like I still, mm-hmm. you know, we love to travel and I love to see friends and like go on little adventures and explore the city. But I need a lot more time at home than I think a lot of people do. And I think I felt guilty about it for a while. Like, oh, I live in this amazing city and I'm not making the most of it. And we'll probably like move out of London. Not that, and you know, there's just all this guilt around it. And I realized like, it's okay to just be a homebody and want this fairly simple, quiet life. And even if it's not like highly Instagrammable, because who wants to see me in my fuzzy sock reading a book again? Like,
I do. Yeah. Do like, it.
People being tired. It's just like, I think again, that kind of where the real power of personal development is coming to that place of self-awareness and self-acceptance. Like actually, if having that time at the end of the day makes you really happy. And I know that if I got home at midnight and I'd been like out, like at some cool gallery opening, like I would have been forcing myself to enjoy it because I'd really just be tired and want to go to bed.
I know. The days where I am out, like I don't do anything as cool as go to gallery openings. But if I like have like a dinner with friends or something, like, and I just, you know, get home late and I don't have time for that, I get really like womp womp, like I miss that time.
And like, I totally get to the other point. Like if I don't go out and socialize like a couple of times a week, then I'll get into that other place of being like antsy and wanting to see people and that. But it's just finding that balance. Like I know my friend Laura used to have a like one day in, one day out rule. So she was like always alternating whether she was in of the house or out. But then for me, it's like, that's too much. Like, you know, 3 days in and one day out is a better fit for me.
Same, I think. Usually it's just like I try to do my weekends where they're more like out and about, and then my weekdays are really my time. So yeah. Well, awesome. Next question is, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be either a writer or an Olympic horseback rider.
Did you grow up riding horses?
Yeah, I did. Like, we didn't live in the country or anything, but I loved horses since I was really little. And then when I was about 8 or 9, started riding. And then when I was a little bit, a couple of years after that, competed for a little while. And then I saved up my babysitting money. And when I was 12, I bought a foal, a baby horse. And I had him till I moved away to university. And then it became this horrible, like, literally probably one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make was to, like, I couldn't afford to, I was paying for most of my own tuition I couldn't afford to keep him and to go. And so that was a hard decision, but, but it's wonderful. And it's something that, I think once we move out of London, which we're planning to do hopefully later this year, to maybe move to Scotland or to another part of the UK, just somewhere a bit smaller. Ooh. Yeah. Hopefully I'll get to start riding again, 'cause it's just insanely expensive like everything else in London, but would be really fun to start doing again when we live somewhere else.
I'm reading Outlander right now, so I'm totally into like Scotland-ness. And I just went to a dinner party this weekend and one of the girls just got back from Scotland and she was showing me all the pictures and she's also reading Outlander, so she like was like, I think that they based the book on like this like stone circle, and I was like, this is so cool, and I got really nerdy about it.
That's so fun. Yeah, I've only been to Edinburgh, but we absolutely fell in love with it. It's the most charming city in the world, so we're doing what we can do to try and move there. It just depends on whether my husband gets a job there or not, because obviously I can work with me, but yeah, he's starting to apply for things, and I'm super excited by that prospect. I think it'd be really fun.
That's cool. So what do you want to be when you grow up, and what does your ideal future look like?
So in terms of career stuff, I would really like to find a balance between kind of doing the kind of work that I'm doing now and maybe getting to like write a book every year or two. So getting a publishing deal and working as a writer. We want to have a family soonish. So I love having work that I could hopefully – no, like not hopefully, I can design it to be able to be home with my kids as much as possible, but still be working and doing things that I find really fulfilling. So yeah, like we're not totally sure exactly where we want to live, like where we'll buy a house or anything like that. We're just kind of like, I think especially like being a Canadian and a British person in a marriage, like we can see ourselves in all sorts of places, but we're really excited to explore living in Scotland. But yeah, I think we just really want to have a lovely home with a garden. And like I said, we're both kind of homebodies and like to spend a lot of time at home reading and doing things around the house. I cook a lot. So having a life where we get to travel quite a bit. We both love to travel and get to spend lots of time with our hypothetical future family.
babies.
Yeah.
I feel I'm in the same spot, and I'm always like, the babies that I plan to have next year, like, they're ruling my life right now already, but they're fake. They're not real.
It's like such a, as an interesting thing to talk about. Like, I think sometimes women feel like sheepish about talking about, like, you know, like planning for those kind of things. And I interviewed Jen DeZura, who has a blog called, well, like a website, I guess, called Get Bullish. And she was like, yeah, well, any other like major life change, like going to university or starting a business, like you would be applauded for planning it and figuring out how you're going to do financially. Like, why are women crazy for trying to figure out like this major life change that's going to affect you forever? Which I think is a very good
point. That's so true.
Yeah, it's like it's and it becomes a different scenario when like you are with like you are and like I am like with a partner who you actually know that you want to have kids with. Whereas I think before it can be this like thing where you're like not wanting to put pressure on the relationship. But yeah. So yeah, I mean writing books and having a family and traveling a lot, I guess, is my ideal life.
I love it. It's awesome. Do you have a mantra or favorite quote that's guiding you right now?
Yeah. So I don't know who said this quote, but it's inspired me so much, which is nothing in nature blooms all year, so don't expect yourself to. And so I think coming out of that period of burnout or recognizing it for what it was and is, you know, such a big eye-opener. And this quote speaks to it so beautifully of, like, not expecting yourself to be in peak performance mode all the time, to have to achieve every day, like, to start stop conflating our self-worth and our productivity and our achievement. Like, I am not what I achieve. I am like a whole worthy person outside of that. And like it says, like, nothing in nature is green and flowering and beautiful. It might be beautiful, but it's not like blooming all year long. And so
yes.
I'm trying to come into that place where I accept that, like, not every day is a day where, like, I write the best blog post ever or sign a new client or, like, you know, some days you just have to lie on the couch and have a cold and that's all good.
Totally. I, one of the first episodes that I recorded with a guest, it was with Janelle Hardy. And I always refer back to this episode because it was really eye-opening to me to learn about how she talked about the creative cycle and kind of just like the cycle in life in general and how, like, in order to have those like highly productive, like high creativity spurts or whatever, you need like an equal and powerful like hibernation period to like actually make it complete. And that's not something that like any of us in like Western society, I guess, not like any of us, but a lot of people don't realize that you need that. It's that like just keep doing the work, keep achieving, keep doing more, and just realizing that's a part of making that whole cycle complete and like kind of going in and hibernating and taking care of yourself and being more quiet is needed.
Totally. So. That's a big part about what my book is about. Like the kind of
good.
The way that our, and not just in terms of creativity, although I think creativity, you know, creativity means more than just what I guess what we sometimes talk about it as, but like in terms of our entire lives, I guess, and the way we're creating our lives. So in a way that's creative. Yeah, like the way that our energy levels and moods and productive output and relationships, like how they all can match up with the seasons and cycles that are going on around us. I think that's so powerful. And it's not really at all, like you say, not necessarily that's not condoned, but it's just like not acknowledged even by society. Mm-hmm. And society is not set up that way. And so it's really difficult, but I think it's so beautiful the way that people are finding ways to honor that in whatever way makes sense for them and their bodies and their life and their creativity. It's so important.
Absolutely. Well, I love that. Like the thinking about it as a natural, the blooming, that was cool. I'm taking that.
Yeah, it's a good one
too. So what has been a highlight of your career so far? And is there something you're super proud of that you want to share?
My career is so jumbled, so this is hard to think of. I think definitely one highlight, was launching our magazine, even though it ended up not working out the way that we thought it would. It was such a huge achievement. But what I'm probably the most proud of, although I'm definitely proud of that, is just having gotten to the point where I am now, where like it feels really good. Like I feel fulfilled by my work. I feel proud of my work. I know that I'm doing a good job. I know that, you know, I'm kind of making my financial goals happen. Like, things just feel good and steady and stable. And they really were a little bit all over the place for a long time, as I've shared. So it just feels really nice to have designed something that feels really authentic and is also like a piece of the puzzle in this bigger life picture that I'm creating. Because for a really long time, like, I didn't really see my life outside of my business and my kind of online world. Like, everything was so focused on growing that. And so now having this bigger picture, which obviously there was always a bigger picture, but I was so fixated on like needing to make my business work. And so now just having it feel good and work well, really proud of that.
That's awesome. And that is something to totally be super, super proud of. Because it takes so much work to get there.
It does.
So much time and figuring out. And a lot of people will give up before they get to the point that you're at. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Are there any last things you want to share? Any parting words of advice?
Well, I mean, I guess to sum up like what I've shared about my own journey is my biggest learning experiences over the maybe like the last year and a half have been to just listen to the rhythms and cycles of your body. If you read Lisa Lister's book, I think you'll get a little bit more of an idea of how that can relate to women throughout the month. And hopefully by next year, I'll have written a book where I can read it, like share even more of that with you. But I think just recognizing that there are times when our energy levels are different and when our ambitions are different. And, you know, in the winter that we do feel maybe more like being inside and doing less and needing to rest more and like that's all okay and it's natural and it is actually, like you say, you're germinating seeds that you don't even know that you're nurturing and growing right now. It's so essential to your creativity and to your health and mental health. So that's a big one. And then also just learning to look inside myself for answers has been such an important thing. I used to look to every like spiritual guru and course and blog post to like figure out how to live my life. And I think having conversations like this is really powerful because we can share our experiences, but they're powerful because they spark something in us. They spark some of that like intuitive voice, or they spark like a feeling that something feels good or it doesn't. So learning to trust that and to look inside for those answers has been so huge for me.
Totally. I'm learning to trust my gut more and not rely on rational thinking because it's usually wrong.
It's such a hard lesson, but it's so important.
It is. That's something, it's been good to feel that, like the feelings, like that steps are, you know, what to take next. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. I love like learning all this new stuff about you, and it just, it makes me feel so good to know we're on like the same page about a lot of things too. And that I can go to you now for like learning about our cycles and our,
all of
that stuff. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing everything.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Yay. Now you get to listen to this again.
I know.
Help me do it. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on the show and sharing all of your awesome information. It was like awesome to get to know you in a really cool new way, because I know we meet every week and we're just like blog posts, podcasts, all of that kind of stuff. But it was really cool getting to know you a little bit more personally, and hopefully we'll get to have some more of those conversations as we continue just growing Pine Gate Road together. So for anybody looking for a VA, you can hit Sarah up on sarahstarsva.com, I think she said. She'll have it in the show notes as well. And if you're generally wanting to listen to her podcast, please give that a listen. It sounds really cool. We're actually swapping podcast episodes, so I'll be on there soon. I have not, in general, been listening to as many podcasts as I used to, sadly. I was listening to them a lot while I was driving to and from work and while I was sitting doing work before, but now I've noticed that I need full concentration, and I literally sit in silence in this corner of my couch while I've been doing my work lately. I don't even put on music. I don't have the TV on. I am just trying to single task instead of multitask, and I get completely immersed in the work that I'm doing. So I definitely want to start listening to her podcast. And I want to catch up with the ones that I like do listen to. I'm like sad that podcasting is such a big part of my life, and I feel like I've been missing it lately. So maybe I'm getting to a point where I need to bring a little bit more balance into my life and see what else I can kind of offload to Sarah or another VA if she gets too busy. I hope not. and just figuring out how to get more of that white space so I can keep listening and being inspired by all the awesome information and conversations that people are putting out into the world. So in other news, I'm trying to think of kind of like life updates here. I don't think there's been too much going on. I've been like, oh, okay. So there kind of was a cool thing that happened this past weekend. I posted about it on my Instagram stories. So one of Todd's really good friends, Ryan, is a speaker, and he did his first keynote speaker at this conference called Bliss in Cleveland. And at the end of the keynote speakers, they had a little pitch contest where they kind of encouraged anybody to get up and share about their business or their dreams, and kind of just, they had 2 minutes to pitch whatever they wanted. And then there was like, you either, you got to win a recording of your pitch if you won. So it was kind of like a low-key kind of thing. There was probably like 60 people there. It wasn't too intimidating, thank goodness, for me. Or I don't know, it was intimidating kind of, because you had to like get up in front of people in real life. But I was like, I didn't know if I wanted to do it. I had a really bad night's sleep the night before. I like woke up at like 3 a.m. and I couldn't get back to sleep. I think I was just nervous about the fact of even getting in front of people and possibly pitching Pine Gate Road. I feel a lot more comfortable being in my couch, you guys. I'm in my pajamas on my couch, and this is how it rolls. And I feel good talking to this little microphone on my table instead of being in front of 60 real live humans. So it's a lot different. And so I didn't think I wanted to do it. I was just in a bad state of mind. I was trying to like give myself all of these excuses. I was just like, oh, you're tired. Like, you'll mess up, you'll regret it, like, don't do it, Kelsey, but don't be hard on yourself, like, you don't have to do it, like, just don't make it happen. And so I was filling my thoughts with, like, that kind of stuff, like, all night and all that morning. I even, like, didn't really get dressed very properly. Like, I just felt kind of gross, and I was like, oh, like, yeah, if you just wear, like, leggings and this big sweater, like, you're not dressed to go up in front of people, like, so you don't have to do it. So I was like kind of just putting myself in this negative self-talk space to not have to do it. And then we got there and I knew a couple people and they were like, oh, you should like totally pitch your business. And so eventually I just was like, Kelsey, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Seriously, you're going to get up there. You might stumble over your words. You don't win, which is fine. I didn't want to win or anything. Like, it was more just the fact that like I could get up there and tell people about what I do and get some practice talking about it. Because sometimes I feel kind of like mush when I talk about what I do in front of people. Like, I get really discombobulated and I just am like, blah, I'm a web designer and another, you know, I do identity design and logo and stuff, you know? And that's my pitch, which, no, that's not what I do. I mean, it is what I do, but that's not all of it. So, and it's not very good saying it like that. So anyway, I got enough encouragement from Todd and some friends to just be like, what's the worst that could happen? Just go do it. So I went and I did it, and I opened up with how I just kind of tried to be a little bit of self, like, deprecation there, and I was like, so, this is my first time talking in front of anybody in real life. I do talk to people weekly on my podcast in my pajamas from my couch corner, so please, take pity on me, basically. And then I just talked about my business, and how I use values as a foundation for business building. And it was really cool to be able to share about that. And as much as I thought I was like super terrible at explaining what I did, people like didn't think that I was bad. So I thought I was really messed up and like, I don't know, just not explaining it the best. And maybe it's because it's my own business and I have a hard time explaining like all the intricacies of what I do. But everyone really liked it and I ended up getting voted third place. So that was like crazy. And it made me feel really good about getting up there, doing something I was super afraid of, and kind of getting, like, I didn't win anything, but just the acknowledgement that it wasn't as bad as I thought, and the rush that I got after doing it was incredible. So it just kind of, like, was one of those, like, testaments to getting to do something that I was uncomfortable and afraid of that really pushed me in a positive way. And when I thought about the consequences of not doing it, what was I trying to save myself from? Like, was I just, I don't know, like, people were gonna judge me for saying the wrong word or something. Like, if that is the worst that could happen in that kind of a situation, then I should just do it. Like, there was no consequences to getting up there and doing it. So if this serves as any kind of inspiration for anybody to just, like, do something that they're somewhat afraid of, please do it. Because now I feel a lot better about explaining about what I do. I got over the hump of public speaking about my business, and it helped me just get the word out there to some new people. And there actually was another guy pitching there who had a podcast, and I think that we're going to do some podcast exchanging, just like Sarah and I did. So it was cool to meet another entrepreneur in Cleveland here who is doing another inspirational podcast. So yeah, good things can come out of doing things you're afraid of, whatever that might be. So there was my lesson learned from the weekend, and hopefully that inspires you to do something that you might be afraid of this week. All right, longest outro ever. If you have been listening to the show for a while and you haven't headed over to iTunes to rate and review, I would really, really appreciate if you took a minute or two to go do that. It would be very, very helpful. And I would really appreciate it. So head over there. You can find Pinegate Road on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, like all at the handle at Pinegate Road. And if you have any topics that you would like me to talk about, if you want to pitch to be a guest on the show, or you just have any comments that you want to share, you can always email me at kelsey@pinegateroad.com. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you guys have a great rest of your week. And I will be back next week with another inspiring show. Happy Monday, everybody.